The trucking industry, back in the days, and I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that I have done some stupid stuff in my career. Way back when, before CDLs come in, coast-to-coast drivers, they pop pills. Dale was right along with them. I pop pills. I'm not going to deny it. Everybody done it. And
how about the black arts of fudging the hours of service papers?
You talking about logbooks. I can remember that this is telling on me, but that's way back when.
Yeah.
But I can remember when I used to have three, sometimes four logbooks.
Yep.
And it's people like me back then that's got the rules that we got now.
Yep.
Look, when that's the reason I'm so involved with PMTA, and I wished I had got more involved in my earlier years, because going to Washington, D.C. and talking to the legislators about trucking, and I hear it from drivers all the time. Well, they're sitting behind them desks, they don't know what's going on. And they're right. They only make these rules because the driver's statistics makes those rules.
Right.
Every rule that is made is through statistics. And I never know that till I got really involved with PMTA.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast Caution Wide Right, brought to you by Compliance Navigation Specialist. I'm Luke, your host, and today we've got a true legend in the house. When you've spent 43 years behind the wheel as a professional driver, you've seen just about everything the industry can throw at you. Weather, technology shifts, rules and regulation changes, and generations of drivers coming and going. But today's guest didn't just drive those through those decades, he helped shape them. Dale Knox with Vorzik Transport has built a career not only as a professional driver, but as a safety specialist, employee educator, and championship level competitor in the truck driving championships. He's also been deeply involved with the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association since 1989, helping elevate safety standards and supporting fleets across the state. So why should you pay attention to this podcast? Because this conversation isn't just about policies on paper. It's about the mindset. It's about why rules alone don't just change behaviors. So let's just dive on into it. Dale, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I did cover a little bit of your background, and we can go a little bit deeper into that, but I am curious, you've been in the trucking industry for nearly five decades. What keeps you passionate about safety and driver education today?
So over the years, I've seen a lot of changes in the trucking industry.
Yeah.
And in order to participate in the truck driving championship, you've got to have a safe driving record.
Yep.
And the trucking industry has been good to me over my career. And it's time, I thought it was time for me to pay back to the trucking industry that has deeply interested me for my whole career. When I first started out, I never thought I'd be a truck driver. I wanted to be a cartoon artist.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
But that got changed. And I'm grateful because it's been a great experience over the 43 years of driving. And you're right. I've seen just about everything. I've heard about every story, truck driver story that's out there. And I might have even told some myself. So, but why I'm so passionate about the trucking industry and the safety and the well-being of it is in 2012, I had a automobile accident that left me paralyzed from neck down. And they never even thought I'd walk again. So I worked hard, got back to walking, and I worked at Conway at that time, and I used what I was trained at Conway and what I did train other drivers is the Smith system. And that's really what saved the people's life that I T-boned and, wow. and probably saved my life too.
Yeah.
And so it took me a year and a half to make my first step again. And wow. I owe that to my wife and my daughter to help me get back to walking. And I didn't want to give up truck driving because sure. I loved it. And it's been good to me and my family. So I went through 3 neck operations and ended up with 3 steel plates, 2 steel rods, cement, God knows how many screws in my neck. But my spinal cord is protected and I was able to walk again. And I said, good Lord, if you let me walk again, I'm going to do what I can. And some of the younger drivers that coming on board, I welcome them. And I love telling my stories of what's happened to me in the past. I'm in charge of about 79 drivers over our Vorzit system.
Wow.
And whenever I do my coaching, I do it with stories.
For sure.
To let them see it ain't just reading out the handbook. You got to get personal with your drivers.
I am curious, as like a safety, you know, safety manager, safety specialist role. I mean, how and stories and relating to the drivers, do you find that being like one of the most important pieces of that, like gaining trust or gaining, you know, whatever it is, but like, I can definitely see like the whole like front office staff to the drivers behind the wheel having some separation. Did you ever have to fight that a little bit, or just sort of like, you know what? I was in your shoes.
Yeah. And that's one great advantage I got because I have been in them shoes and I know, and I've heard every story, like yeah. I said, and, but when I first, one of the hardest things I've done was have to retire from truck driving. Because my neck couldn't take it no more. And the owner of Vorzit, Jim Vore, called me up wanting me to start in my safety department. At that time, he thought safety was just looking at drive cam cameras.
Yep.
So it was a learning experience for me to start this because I didn't know. All I know is what I was trained at Conway.
Right.
Well, it's XPO now. So, and they had a great safety culture. And I thought, you know, I'm going to bring some of that safety culture over here and try starting it over here. So one of my safety managers, I called him up and I said to him, Dave, they want me to start a safety department at Vorzit, and I says, I need some help, buddy. What do I need to do? So he said, Dale, don't go in there and try to change the world.
Yep.
He says, you make friends with your drivers. And you let the drivers know that you got their back anytime they need it.
Yep.
Now, if they do something wrong, I'm going to be on them. But I will fight for them till I can't fight no more if I see that they was in the right. And so I think that's what you have to let your drivers know, that you got their back 100%.
Right.
And whether they wrong or right, that don't matter, because what you learn from that mistake,
yep,
you won't never make that mistake again. I've been down that road. And we're all humans, and we all are going to make mistakes. But it's how you take those mistakes, learn from them, and be a better driver from that mistake. And that's what I try to tell every one of my drivers. I don't holler at them, scream at them, because as a driver, I don't like that.
Exactly.
And I've had safety people that, you know, it's going to be this way and this way only. And you can't go in there and force something on anybody.
Yep.
One of the hardest things that I've done in my career was coach drivers while I was a driver.
Right.
That's tough. Let me tell you, all eyes is on you to make a mistake.
Yep.
And so you have to be extra careful, because if you slip up, there's somebody going to be there. And if you want to know anything about your slip up, just ask the line haul driver. They know it right now. But I think that helped me create the safety culture that I got over here at Vorzig. Because I used all of that, and I used what the safety managers that was really aggressive and the ones that honestly showed that they cared about you. And I took that, and that's what I brought over here.
Yeah.
I am curious, you know, from training as a driver to driver, and then training from a safety manager kind of role, what are you training? Obviously you're training, you know, maybe tips and tricks behind the wheel and what have you, from driver to driver, but like, what are you training them from a driver perspective? And then on the flip side, you know, how does that differ from the safety side?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be plain and blunt, is in this role here, I used to get my butt chewed out. Now I get to chew butt. So that makes me feel a lot better. But no, the thing of it is the way you present it to the drivers.
Yep.
And you talk with the drivers and get their perspective on what they're doing wrong and what we can do together to help each other make you a better driver.
Right.
And I think if you go with that approach, I found out that drivers that used to hate to see me come in the yard, oh, heck, here comes the safety guy. We got to do this. We got to do that. I don't want that image. And I tell all my drivers, I don't want that.
Yep.
I want you to know, if I call you up on the phone or I come in the terminal, that it ain't just to tell you what you're doing wrong. It's just a chat with you. If you just chat with the drivers, you build a relationship.
Yep.
And when you build that relationship, along with that comes the trust.
For sure.
And I got drivers now that I can coach, and at the end of the coaching session, they thank me. And it's like, the it's nothing like what it used to be, because I use stories. I use, what do you think you could do better?
Yep.
Or, and I let them tell me what they see wrong.
Yeah, working through it in their own heads. Yep.
Exactly. Let's take a stop sign, for instance. I came to a stop with that. Well, when you look at the video, I didn't come to a complete stop. Well, yeah. What do you think, why you thought you did? Well, I slowed down enough. And no traffic was coming. I thought I stopped. But at the end of that, they seen it. They found out that they didn't stop, and they created that in their mind that, man, that stop sign, I got to stop. Make sure I stop. And I give them some suggestions, you know. Hey, look down at your speedometer. See if it hits zero. Sit there for a second. Then go. Because the one thing that I found out in the trucking now is it's a hurry, hurry, push, push, go, go.
Yep.
And I embedded in all my drivers, look, you don't hurry. Because when you hurry, something's going to happen. Been there, done that.
Yep. Mistakes can happen. Yep.
Exactly. So take your time. You're not on a really hard schedule. These schedules are made out to where you make it comfortably. And if my driver wants to pull over and take a 15, 20 minute nap, I'd rather for him do that than I had for him to keep pushing and not make it back.
And I am curious about that. So you got the safety side, and then you got like the dispatchers that are getting loads and telling them, maybe they're the ones, you know, that could be the ones that are applying pressure. Oh no, dispatch is having me do this, what have you. Within your company yourself, how do you guys communicate that, trying to prevent that, or how do you like working together from dispatch to driver to safety?
I'm fortunate that, I work with my driver managers pretty closely, and we see eye to eye.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if there's an issue on a run, then we'll look at it and see if it's the run itself or if the driver's just taking too much time, and then we work together on it. That's where I think a lot of the issues is. You got operations doing this number, and you got safety doing this number, and clashing. Yep. So every week we have a management meeting, and we talk about, in fact, we have a management meeting, and then we have a safety meeting once a week with all the managers and everything. And they got issues. We don't see eye to eye on something. Then we all talk and work it out.
Yeah.
And come to a happy medium. It ain't no fighting that, oh, it's got to be this way, we got to get there. Look, you're not the one that's going to go knocking up on a door to let somebody know that their loved one ain't coming home. I'm going to be the one to do that. Yep. So, and look, safety starts at the top of any business. If you don't have it from the top, you don't have a good safety culture. And look, I'm almost 70 years old, and I plan on dying here because I love what I do. But I wouldn't be here if the owner of the company, Jim and Susie, was not 100% on with the safety program.
Yeah.
And you got to have operations. You got to have everybody, because safety is an everyday thing. You can't slack on safety. Some companies, they safety is their number one goal. They don't talk about safety until something happens.
Right.
I've seen that over and over again. So I use my cameras. We got inside and outside facing cameras. I use that as a training tool. Even though my driver don't do nothing wrong, I still use it as a training tool to show other drivers, if you're in this predicament, this is what you should do.
Yep.
Not just for them to see me for something they done wrong.
Exactly. I mean,
That's building that friendship culture to where they trust you.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's something like cameras too. Okay, yeah, it's a touchy subject. So having a reward system, in essence, to help balance that can be a useful thing. Or if just even a shout out, like you said, you know, like, hey, you know, check out this, check how it does it right. You know, that's fantastic. I am curious about, you know, the technology changes. Were you still behind the wheel when ELDs came around, or were you out of the truck by then?
I was out of the truck by then, but we were still doing paper logs. Yeah. Whenever I retired, they were just fixing to come over. And when I came over to Vorzik, they was using ELDs. And so, I will tell you, as a senior driver, I was totally lost with ELDs.
Yep. I remember the transition well, too. And everyone said that.
Yeah. And the hardest thing was for me, myself, to learn that ELD.
Yeah.
So, because I can't talk to one of the drivers and tell them they should be doing if I don't know it myself.
Yep.
And I think that's where a lot of miscommunication between drivers and safety people and operation is, you got to know it and do it yourself in order to tell people how to do it and train it the right way.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Now, and then when it comes to like ELDs, cameras, you know, technology in general, there's a lot of information, data. It can be useful. It can be used in a way to catch, you know, red flags. Drivers, you know, tend to not like being tracked all the time and what have you. So how do you balance or have those, what's your conversation like when the driver's like, oh, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. How do you transition that? And then how do you paint? Cause you gotta relate. You relate, man, you know, paper logs. I get it. I've done it every day. I have to learn to do something different. I get the frustration with that. How do you help drivers transition to a more positive mindset towards the technology?
So if they know that I have the same, I'm learning with them.
Yeah.
I just like, we just changed the ELD carriers in all of our trucks.
Yep.
And I'll tell my drivers, you know, I'm learning with you guys. You guys has got to help me learn this stuff. I can't tell y'all what to do. Y'all figuring it out better than I am. So I'm depending on you to help me.
Yep.
And so I think that helps me get the hardest ones is your senior drivers.
Yeah.
That's used to the old way. Anything new is kind of tough. And but if they know that you're just as computer illiterate as they are, you know, but you learn together, you build a team working together, hey, you help me because I depend on you guys.
Yep.
And you don't find out anymore that safety guys are dependent on their drivers to help them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sets Vorzik apart, because every one of those drivers, they will help me just as much as I help them. I learn from them every day. Yep. Look, the day that you don't learn something new, that's the day you're going to be 6 foot and on the ground.
Yep.
And so, and my drivers understand that, and they're willing to help me. I was in Beamonton a month ago. Had a safety meeting, and man, I learned a lot from them how to do the new ELDs that I didn't even know. And I was trying to tell them how to do it, and I didn't know what I was doing, evidently, because they taught me what we should be doing. You know what? It worked. But I learned from them. Yep. And that by itself goes a long ways with driver, because they're part of the team that makes it work. You're part of the V team.
Yeah.
The Vorzik team. And when they can do that and be a part of it, dude, them drivers will bend over backwards for you.
Exactly. Now, I am curious, you know, we're talking a lot about, especially the driver that have been there a long time, but a lot of companies deal with driver turnover, and that can be 45, 55-year-olds transitioning companies. It could be 20, 25-year-olds joining a company for the first time or just a new transition. When it comes to like onboarding new drivers, is there a different approach for based on their experience or lack thereof, or how do you onboard a driver based on their experience?
So we go through a intensive onboarding process. We incorporated the English speaking platform in yep. there. We pull MVRs, we go back and look at their histories. And when I see look over MVR and there's some infractions in it that don't settle good, that I don't think there would be a good fit, we stop it right then and there. I think a lot of companies wants to fill that seat.
Right.
Now I've seen that over the years, you know, and that's the wrong approach. You can fill that seat. And look, at one point in time, when I first started here, we was like that.
Yeah.
And I tried to take the drivers that wasn't so good and try to make them better, because I believe in giving everybody a second chance. And so you had an accident with this other company. I want to hear your story. I want you to tell me about it.
Yep.
And then if your story matches up with your MVR or your report or whatever, I'll give you that second chance to prove. In orientation, we learn a lot when we do a extensive orientation with our drivers.
Yeah.
That tells you a lot. We do an interview first, and then driver manager does the interview, I do the interview, and then we sit down and we talk about it. And if I have any red flags, then we talk it out. And also I'm in contact with the recruiter that does it, and sometimes me and him don't see eye to eye, but My job is to make sure that I got a good safety culture for Vorzit Transport.
Exactly.
And it starts right when you hard drivers.
Yep. And I know for a lot of new drivers, the time that's most sensitive for whether it's an accident or a mistake is sort of those first 90 days behind the wheel with a new company. And I'm curious, what does that 90-day onboarding process look like for, do you have another driver at times, like, you know, the senior driver that's walking them through, some kind of, accountability or what have you, check-ins? What does that look like at your company?
So we, most of the time, we do a road test, and we send our new drivers out with our senior drivers. And then when they get proficient with them, then I'll take them out. And we'll go 25, 50 miles. And that within that, I can tell if my driver, lead driver, trained them correctly or not. And right. And it starts with the pre-trip, ends with the post-trip. Just getting in the truck and driving it it's a lot more to it than just driving. So we pull doubles, and before I put them out on the road, I go through a intensive doubles training with them.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to put no driver out there that, even though my senior driver trained him, you do it so long, you pick up your own little tricks. So, but when they first start out, they're on their own, they're not going to have nobody with them. And I want them to do it the way I taught them before they go out. And because the last thing I want is somebody get hurt with their back, or and I don't want them to feel scared to pull doubles. A lot of people are scared to pull them. But heck, I'd rather pull a set of doubles than I had a 53. Of course, I've done it so many years, but I won't get that mindset into the drivers, the new drivers, that you got to love to do it.
Yeah.
You got to. And once you get them feel comfortable, and I don't say, okay, you're ready to go. I let the drivers tell me when they're ready to go. Yep. I mean, some of them gets anxious and want to get out there and start making money. But at the same token, and the way I explain it to them, look, you got to feel comfortable with it. You want to get out there and get gung-ho, but you ain't going to have nobody there to help you. And so I want to make sure that you're ready for the job. And that program works really good. I've even had ladies that weighed 90 pounds. I had them where they was picking up 3,000 pound dollies. They hated it. They were scared of it at first.
Yep.
And I was fortunate whenever I went back to work in Conway with my neck problem, that was the hardest thing I had to do, was lift one of those 3,000 pound dollies with my neck. And I used to go out there on the weekends and just practice the easy way of doing things.
Right.
And I found that way that I never pulled on a dolly, never tugged on it. I was a lazy man with it. I let the dolly work for me. Right. And that's the way I train my drivers. And so once you get that mindset that, you know that somebody's on your side, and you can trust, your safety culture is going to explode. It's going to be one of the best. That's how I've worked it here.
So my name is Randy Martin. Been here for 29 years. My first 9 years I was a driver, local driver, so understand what's going on out there with the drivers. I still ride along with the drivers from time to time. Went into dispatching from that, and now I'm the driver manager, which I would have never imagined I would be. I was going to be a driver. When I first came into the office 20 years ago, we had very little compliance going on. I mean, the DQ files were there, but that was it. And so I slowly started dabbling in that. That became part of my job. I was the compliance manager for a while. I did everything all by myself. And then somewhere along the way, we ran into CNS. John Irwin came up and did a mock audit for us. And that's how we got started with CNS. I've been working with Jared, and just with different things, they did a drug and alcohol policy for us. And so they kept saying, why don't you come on board and let us manage your files and stuff. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. About 6 months ago, we were up against it with our FMCSA safety measurement score under the unsafe driving category. We bumped over the threshold and we got a letter from FMCSA. CNS really helped us through that, and just to give us ideas of what to do through all their data. And we actually are well under the threshold now. Thanks to CNS, why they were there for us is just so helpful, because there's so much that you guys know that even I don't know, just because I'm not in the day-to-day of it. I have a lot of other things to take care of each day too. So when I can reach out to CNS and they help me with all those different ideas and goals and different ways to look at different things, it's super helpful. We send all our new drivers down to you guys. They do their DOT physicals with there, do their drug tests, and then set up our DQ files. And that's helpful for me too, because I used to sit here for a day and do all that DQ file stuff with them. You guys take care of that for me. And then we also have sent about 4 drivers through your school down there already, and we're getting ready to send 2 more. That one-on-one training is huge for us. We used to go to a different school and where, you know, 3 guys would be sitting in a sleeper and 1 driving and the trainer up front. And that's just nerve-wracking for anybody. So with you guys, it's 1 driver, 1 trainer, and then you do the test right there as well. So that works out super well.
And I am curious, so, you know, we're talking about mindset and, you know, your mindset too, as a driver, you know, you with truck driving championships, practicing, sort of precision driving, obviously getting back to walking again and things like that. It's something you gotta work on over and over. I am curious, you know, truck driving championships, fantastic program to, you know, again, it's keeping drivers, it's something to motivate drivers to stay safe. You got to be a year safe record, no accidents. I am curious, the mindset of practicing, the mindset of what does it take to be, you know, participating in the truck driving championships and then performing well in truck driving championships?
So I was in competition for 23 years.
Yeah.
And I've trained a lot of drivers, and you're right. You got to have a year's of good safe driving, no accidents and everything. And the toughest part of that year is that last week that you're driving.
Yeah.
You are spazzing out watching everybody else. It ain't my driving that I was worried about. It was somebody hitting me and knocking me out of competition. Yep. And then it comes the facts for driver's book in the written test. You got 3 parts of it. It's written test, pre-trip, and the course.
Yep.
And when a lot of people, when you tell them you've won the truck driving championship, they think it's a racing competition or something.
Right.
And I explained to them, it's a lot what you do out here on the road is completely different than what you do at competition. Out here on the road, I hear drivers say all the time, "Oh, I do that all the time." No, you don't. When you go around the curve, you try to stay away from that curve, or you go around this building, you try to stay away from it.
Yep, I don't want to hit the light bulb.
In competition, you try to get as close as you can because you get, yeah. So, and that's why practicing is very important. When I was in competition, I was fortunate. My wife and hey, my daughter even got on the rollerblades and followed me around when I was practicing and stored me. I know the year that I won nationals, I had about 200 hours of practicing then.
Yeah.
Because once you get out there on that course, your nerves is going to play tricks with you. I don't care how much you say that it don't bother you. It bothers you. But that's just adrenaline. I mean, heck, I rode bull for almost 20 years, and it's that adrenaline that starts pumping that you, all right, I got to do this. It's time to do it. And you just go out there and you have fun. If you don't win, then my old saying is, shoot, I got 365 days and a runoff. 365 days without an accident now, and a runoff just to get back here.
Yep.
So I start working on it right after competition, working on it the same as I would do if I was practicing every day. My pre-trip. I done my pre-trip the same as I done it in competition. And that was one of my strong hope, the written test or the pre-trip. And you just get in that routine to where you see something that ain't right, you know it's not right.
Yep.
But you're doing it every day, just like I've done it at competition.
Exactly.
And but really you got put your heart and soul into it. I know when I training guys, the first thing, I'll tell you a story about Jim Vore and Susie Vore. First time I ever met them, I was doing a training, TDC training at Conway with some drivers, and they asked me if I'd train their drivers, and I said, yeah. So the first thing I tell any drivers that I'm about to train, if you ain't going to put your heart and soul into to wanting to win,
Right.
don't waste my time.
Yep.
That's exactly what I tell them, because I take this to heart. Just like I take my safety to heart. I took my competition to heart. And you got to have the willpower and the heart into it in order to make it work. Same way with trucking.
Oh yeah. And I am curious. So, Conway, was that where you first start? What first got you into truck driving championships? Was it at Conway, and how did that?
It was Conway. In fact, I was the only one from Conway in the state of Pennsylvania that participated. I
Yep.
went down there and didn't even know what the heck I was doing. Didn't have a safety guy down there. I made some good friends and they helped me out, and it just exploded from there.
Did they like come to you and being like, "Hey, do you want to do this?" Or like, did you hear about it ahead of time? How'd that?
I heard about it. They posted it. But it's weird because nobody wanted to do it. And I was, when I worked my 30 years at Conway, I was always, when something new came out or something, I'd raise my hand. because you know, I want to learn.
Yeah.
You know, I someday and it paid off because my thoughts was, I'm gonna, if this is given to me free to learn, I'm going to get as much and under my belt as I can, because yeah, one of these days I might not be able to drive a truck. And that reality hit in 2012.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate. I was always the one to raise my hand. Yeah, I'll do it. In fact, Conway was the first LTL company that brought DriveCam into the trucks.
Okay.
And yeah, I was on that team to bring it into the system, put it in our trucks and train the drivers on it. And whew, boy, was that a tough one. Most especially inside and outside facing.
Yeah.
And even when I come to boards, they had the cameras, but you still had drivers that had negative attitude about. And so I took the approach that, heck, guys, I know what you're talking about, but look at it this way. If you're involved in an accident, that's your only proof that you didn't do nothing wrong.
Yep.
And anybody that's listening and they have a hard time with that inside facing, all you got to do is show them one video of a driver that got charged for a 19-year-old boy losing both of his legs in an accident, and it was laid on the truck driver's fault.
Yep.
But the camera exonerated him. And them cameras, they can, some of them can be against you if you do the wrong thing. But sure, if you're sitting there doing the right thing, seatbelt on, alert, and not distracted, and you in your lane, and you going to speed limit, your only hope of your word against theirs is that camera that's up there looking at you.
Yep.
And then you get people that says, well, I don't like for you looking at me all the time. Gee whiz. There ain't enough hours in the day for me to be watching my drivers. The only time I pull an event is if there's an accident.
Yep.
And I don't have time to sit there and look at videos other than what you make me look at. And that's when you create an event, then I'm going to look at it.
Yep.
My 79 drivers, I don't think I got a one driver that's got a negative attitude towards those cameras anymore here at Vorsey. That 19-year-old boy I was telling you about, that my driver, the 19-year-old hit us head on. First thing when I got to the scene was they was loading my driver in the ambulance, and he said, Dale, look at the camera.
Yeah.
Dale, look at the camera. That is, when you tell drivers that changes their outlooks on a few things with the cameras.
For sure.
And then when you show them the video, that even hits home more.
Oh yeah. I am curious, since we're talking about, driver, things that can pop up with drivers driving and driver safety. I am curious, what are some of those common, driving can be sort of, everything, and you get into a repetition. What are some of those common behaviors, or whether it's a red flag or triggers that you see that you go, hold, we should do a training, or we should talk about something. What triggers, an extra conversation when it, comes to driver behavior?
So at Vorsey, we set up a program And we got four different levels.
Yep.
And it's coaching, verbal coaching, written warning, corrective action, and the fifth one is termination. And we coach on that level, and when you get three in one level, you jump up to the next level. If it's serious enough and it's in our criteria in either one of those levels, then it jumps there automatically. So we use that. And so far, I don't think we've terminated but maybe two drivers from that system. Because once they get coached two or three times and they know they're moving up and they know it's going to be hitting their safety bonus and their pay raise, it starts reacting. And there again, it comes back down to trust.
Yeah.
Because, and the way you present them events and coaching that makes that driver understand it and want to do better.
Exactly.
And when you get that, look, your safety score is going to be low. Your driver's going to try to do the best they can for you and be the safest out there. And I tell every one of my drivers, look, if I have to go knocking on a door to say that you're not coming back, you ended my career right then.
Yep.
And so I've built a trust among drivers to where if you leave, we're going to leave. And that is something that makes me feel good. I ain't planning on leaving. And so I know I'm going to keep my drivers for a long time. And look, they're my drivers. I tell them, you're my drivers. And the reason I say that is I'm responsible for them. I'm responsible for making sure that every one of my drivers gets home safely to their loved ones.
Yep.
That's my job. To protect the company and make sure that my drivers get back home safe. And I got wives now that calls me up and thanks me for making their husband do the right thing while they're driving. Unbelievable. I never knew that would ever happen, but it does.
That's awesome.
So I am curious, back to the truck driving championships. I know Kalahari is where we hold the truck driving championships currently in Pennsylvania, coming up in June. What does your program look like for preparing for Kalahari? Is it, you know, do you ask for volunteers to do it? Is there a reward system or any way like that? And then when it comes to preparation, you know, how do you prepare for truck driving championships? You know, is it something that's year round? Do you have a rodeo, you know, during the winter or in the spring? What does that look like for your company?
Well, I'll tell you now, I have practiced when there's snow on the ground, but them days I'll wait till the snow. But yeah, once I get the drivers that wants to participate, then I'll start having practices with them. We'll have practice 6-7 weekends. And sometimes it's 8 to 10 hours a day of just running around in circles. Or it might be 8 hours a day of doing pre-trips. But when you get 4 or 5 drivers, that 8 hours is nothing. It's gone before you know it. And one thing that I like doing whenever I'm training is I have everybody tally up $10 or $15 in a pot. And, okay, boys, y'all going to have a competition amongst yourself. And whoever wins gets the pot. And that puts pressure on them. just like what it's going to be at competition.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if they happen to win at state first place, they get to go to nationals, which nationals this year is going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hey.
Yeah.
Bring it home. For you.
Yeah. Bring it in home. I'll be a judge down there this year.
Oh, awesome.
Yep. It's nothing like, I wished I could have won my national championship in Pittsburgh, but it had to be up in Milwaukee. But it takes, and look, about the first practice, I can tell you if a driver's going to put his heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
And if he don't, I'll practice with the, he can be there, but I don't want you to waste my time. I want to spend my time with drivers that wants to do it.
Exactly.
Not going for the vacation there. I mean, heck, we've been going there, what, 4 or 5 years? And I have never once went to the water park yet. Been too busy. But and I got drivers from Ohio, from New York, that comes over here to practice with me. And drivers here in Erie, and then I got some that comes up from Pittsburgh. And there's a lot of it's XPO that participates. It's War Trucking, it's FedEx, it's a couple of others that I can't even remember. That's what happens when you get gray hair. But I have a big variety of drivers that participate from a lot of companies. And look, even when I was in competition and I trained drivers, they used to ask me, says, well, he's in your class. What if he comes up and beats you? Are you going to be mad? I said, no. I says, that's a win-win situation for me.
Exactly.
He says, why is that? I said, well, if he beats me, then I done my job right.
Right,
he's
up on the back.
I messed up. If I beat him, then he didn't pay attention much. And so that's how I learned the driving championship, is people help me. And that's, you got to give back what you learn.
Yep.
I think this world is falling short on that, of
sure.
people helping each other.
Yep.
And look, the trucking industry, back in the days, and I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that I have done some stupid stuff in my career. Way back when, before CDLs come in, coast-to-coast drivers, they pop pills. Dale was right along with them. I pop pills. I'm not going to deny it. Everybody done it. And
how about the black arts of fudging the hours of service papers?
Yeah. You talking about logbooks. I can remember, now this is telling on me, but that's way back when.
Yeah.
But I can remember when I used to have 3, sometimes 4 logbooks.
Yep.
And it's people like me back then that's got the rules that we got now.
Yep.
Look, when that's the reason I'm so involved with PMTA, and I wished I had got more involved in my earlier years, because going to Washington, D.C. and talking to the legislators about trucking, and I hear it from drivers all the time. Well, they sitting behind them desks, they don't know what's going on. And they're right.
Yeah.
They only make these rules because the driver's statistics makes those rules.
Right.
Every rule that is made is through statistics. And I never knew that till I got really involved with PMTA. And going to Washington is a great experience, because what you get to do, you get to educate those legislators. What they don't know, you sit in that seat, you can explain it to them. And you can explain it to them to where they understand it. Because them people's no different than me and you. They put their britches on just like me and you do. And they welcome the knowledge of what I've got, or what any of us has got, to tell them, to help them make a better decision. Same way in Harrisburg. Those legislators don't know the first thing about trucking, but once you sit down with them and they understand it and you explain it to them, that's worth $1 million.
Yeah, and you can see their eyes open up too.
That's it. Well, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never knew that. And so I think that's where we all just sit back and let this stuff happen instead of getting out there and trying to do something about it. Now, look, I'm a CDL third-party examiner. I give CDL tests. And one reason why I do that is I've seen some of the drivers that is put out here. And I want to do my part to make sure that when my name goes on that certificate, that I know that I'm putting the best driver out there on the highway that I would like riding with, that I trust.
Yep.
And people ask me all the time, well, how do you do all this? You know what? If you got the willpower and you want to make a change and you want to do something, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yep.
And I really take safety, take trucking to heart. I love it with all my heart. All the people that I've met over the years, and the people that I've helped, the people that I train, and see them get out there and make a living for their family, a good living. Whoever thought that a trucking company, you can make six figures driving somebody else's truck?
Yep.
Blows my mind.
All right. I think we're about 1-2 minutes out of time, or about to wrap this up. So I do want to end this looking backwards with some memories, and then looking forward as well. So looking back, you know, we're talking about truck driving championships. I am curious, when you won, and you won Pennsylvania, and then you go to nationals, you win nationals. I'm just curious, what was that feeling like? Did you know that you would probably win that? Just walk us through you winning championships.
So, no, I wanted to win, and I tried. It took me 11 years to win my, no, 10 years to win my first first state competition. And it's hard to explain the feeling. It's like, holy cow, I did it. But when I won nationals, I never dreamed that I'd ever win nationals.
Yeah.
And that was the first year that my daughter had ever went to a national competition with me.
That's awesome.
And that meant more to me than winning.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and knowing that she was right there and helped me do it.
Yeah.
That was worth them. That's heck, it still brings tears to my eyes.
Now, looking back to your time as a driver, you know, what do you miss most about driving? And, you know, what's one of your favorite memories you have behind the wheel?
What I miss most about it is the people that I met over the years, and the challenges I had. Look, driving out of Erie for 30 years with a set of doubles, I can tell you there was times I didn't even think I was going to make it. But yeah. When I did get back to the terminal, I thank the Almighty for getting me back safely. And
we could do a whole podcast conversation talking about weather.
that is most especially up here. But those are the fun memories, because every night when I went out in the snow and real bad weather,
yeah,
it was a challenge. You got to take it as a challenge. And it's, in order to be a truck driver, you got to have your heart and soul into it. And it takes a special breed of person to be a driver.
Yep.
It that's just as simple as I can put it. And you got to love what you do. If you don't, you're not going to become a good driver.
All right. And last question for you. From a driver to safety, if you have advice for a safety manager or someone starting a safety program at their fleet, I'm curious, what tip, especially from like a driver mindset to safety, what tip would you give them when they're starting that out?
I'll give them the same thing that I was told. Don't go in there and want to change the world. Go in there as you want to try to make friends with your drivers. You want to explain to them that you're there to help them. You're not there to tell them what they're doing everything wrong. You want to help them to be better drivers.
Yep.
And you got their back 100% on everything that they do. And look, I tell all my drivers, my phone's on 24/7. If you got a problem at home or you got a problem at work, I don't want you sitting that truck all night long, because it's just going to keep boiling. I want you to call me. I don't care if it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Most safety guys ain't never going to tell you that, because it's going to be a 9-to-5 job. But I want my drivers to call me, get it off their chest, because if you talk to somebody, you'll feel better about it. And I'd rather get woke up by a phone call that a driver's upset than I had a phone call with the state police.
Exactly.
Simple as that. I got your back. I trust you. I want you to trust me. We're a team. Let's work together.
Awesome. Well, Dale, thank you so much for chatting with us. Man, we could have gone on another hour or two easily with these conversations. I do want to bring up, if you are interested in truck driving championships, it's in almost all the states, 40 states, I believe, holds a truck driving championships. Reach out to your state trucking association or ask your company if they're not involved to get involved. Check it out. It's fun. It's a great experience, even just to feel the competition, feel the camaraderie, and getting to know new other drivers in the area. It's fantastic. So for Pennsylvania, it's in June at Kalahari in the Poconos, and you can go to pmta.org and click on Truck Driving Championships, and you can look at that, sign up to that. Also, we dabbled a little bit about getting involved with your state trucking association, the importance of what Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and the other truck associations across the country, what they do is critical. And, you know, again, we could have a further hour-long conversation just talking about that. But if you want to get involved or look at what they are doing on your behalf and getting involved with that, you can go to PMTA.org, check out your other state's information, and go, you know, even if it's just for networking and learning new information and just getting involved. It's the first step, and it's a fantastic step. Any other pieces of information you want to pass out there before we jump away?
By joining any trucking company that is a member of their state association, those companies are safer companies. Yep. Because they get educated and they see so much what PMTA offers them. And not only that, PMTA's got 9 chapters all over the state of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And you can become a member of PMTA and belong to one of those chapters, and you find out what we're fighting for in legislation for the trucking industry in Pennsylvania. If we didn't have PMTA, wouldn't nobody fight for the trucking industry in
yep.
the Commonwealth?
Yep.
Great organization. I'm proud to be part of it.
Awesome. Dale, thank you so much again for joining us. Give us a like, a comment down below. If you have questions for Dale, ask us in the questions. I can pass it along. Make sure we, pass along his advice along. And again, subscribe to the channel if you haven't. And as always, stay safe out there.